It's just after 2. Time for Murph and Andy on 1460 KXNO, Des Moines Sports Station.
It is Wednesday on the Murph and Andy Show, 1460 KXNO. Glad to have you with us. Time to give away the $1,000 Christmas bonus. Text the keyword money to 200-200 right now. Your chance to win. Standard message and data rates apply. Keith Murphy, Andy Fales, and Andrew Downs. And we are going into a huge weekend of college football. I mean, if you looked at the schedule, it is absolutely necessary that you be able to watch about 8 televisions at once this coming Saturday. But some of this will shake out with the new college football poll, Andy. It came out last night. We watched it, even though we don't really have a dog in the college football playoff fight. We have 2 teams in those rankings and games this weekend that really matter. Mm-hmm. And Oklahoma and TCU right outside the college football playoff. Iowa State has beaten both those teams, and those 2 teams play each other this weekend. So it's like an elimination game for those 2.
Yeah, I mean, it's got fingerprints all over it, right? I mean, our teams aren't right up there in the middle of it, but their work is felt on that college football poll. I mean, the playoff poll, you can see the effect that our teams have had on that poll, right?
Ohio State just
plummets. Yeah.
They're down in
TCU teams. And Oklahoma as low as they are because of Iowa State.
5-6. So Georgia 1, Bama 2, just by resume, because I think people still view Alabama as a team to beat. Notre Dame 3, which is that's good for Channel 13. We force all that Notre Dame coverage on everybody. Number 4 is Clemson. Number 5, Oklahoma. 6, TCU. Wisconsin is 8. So Wisconsin is going through what Iowa went through 2 years ago. But if Wisconsin wins out and they're 13-0 and they've won the Big Ten championship game, there is no chance they're left out of the college football playoff, in my opinion. They're in. They just win.
But doesn't the fact that the talk is that they're not guaranteed, doesn't that make it more interesting?
I guess it does. We went through this with Iowa, but they kept creeping up and they got to, what, 3? I mean, if they beat Michigan State, they beat Michigan State, they were going to be in the college football playoff. Yeah. And as AD relives on a daily basis.
Yeah, thanks.
They didn't beat Michigan State, but it came down to the final minute. So you have that game in play with Iowa going there with all kinds of confidence. Iowa, like you said on Throwdowns a couple of days ago, the college football poll, the playoff poll, does put Iowa 1 spot in front of Iowa State. They played head-to-head, and Iowa won that game.
Yeah, I guess that doesn't surprise me. You know, I mean, if they're head-to-head, and you know that whatever's happened most recently tends to have a greater effect, right? I mean, it just does. It's just the way of the world. And then when you compare the fact that they did play head-to-head in Ames, and Iowa did win, it was a close game, but Iowa did win, I mean, it's hard to argue that that doesn't make sense.
It is.
It's so bizarre, though. We talked about it on Monday. What a difference a week makes. Like,
man,
a week ago,
a huge difference.
As an Iowa fan, I'm thinking, man, this could be a really bad season.
I don't know when. Basketball.
Yeah, I don't know when they get to 6 wins, if they get to 6 wins. This is really going to be kind of a down year for Ferentz and the Hawkeyes and all of this stuff. And now all of a sudden, Iowa's a top 20 team, you know, a chance to knock off another top 10 team. You're talking, hey, you know, there some things have to happen, but they could get to the Big Ten champ. It's just kind of nuts that in a week it has gone that drastically. I mean, the way I feel about this football season has changed 180 degrees with one game.
That's why we have Overreaction Monday, right? By Wednesday, we're trying to calm back down a little bit, but we have Overreaction Monday. Let's get this quickie poll out there just to take the temperature, see, try to be honest if you are holding out hope.
Yeah, KXNO.com, Murph and Andy show page, also on Twitter, Facebook. Are you holding out any hope that Iowa or Iowa State might make the college football playoff? No, absolutely none. Yes, and it's what's keeping me going, or maybe a teeny tiny bit.
It's absolutely none for me.
Is it even mathematically possible? I mean, it's possible, right? I mean, if the other teams in front of them all keep losing.
Yeah, and they all play each other.
Maybe mathematically, but here's what you're dealing with in reality. No 2-loss team has made the college football playoff. You're asking for a 3-loss team.
Right, right, right.
So I think we're 1 removed from the possibility. I think if you're a 2-loss team, you could convince yourself that this will be the year that there is a two-loss team in. I think it's possible. We've seen a two-loss team in the old BCS system.
Yeah, right, but now there are two one-loss teams in the playoff.
Right, right. And Oklahoma and TCU both have a loss to Iowa State, and they're 5-6. So, yeah.
A lot of these teams do play each other in the closing weeks. And you have all those rivalry games yet to come, and you know that with those games, anything can happen.
And then you get the college football playoff, the championship games, which are designed to increase your chances of getting in the college football playoff, but it can end up hurting you,
if
too.
If there's a big upset.
Yeah, if you're the Big Ten right now, you have to be considering the possibility that Wisconsin is your only chance. But if you're a Big Ten fan, you probably feel like Ohio State or Penn State would beat Wisconsin in the Big Ten championship game, and that could eliminate the Big Ten. You have Ohio State with two losses. You have Penn State with two losses already. So it's kind of Wisconsin in the field.
Ohio State has to play Michigan, and crazy stuff happens in that game. I don't know who Penn State still has. It seems like they've kind of run through everybody.
It is
weird. Things could happen, but I mean, Ohio State could be if they lose again, they're just completely, totally done.
Yeah, they are. And these are big games for Iowa and Iowa State coming up Saturday, because a real chance for both to enhance that January bowl resume. Now, we know Iowa almost always seems to get a bowl game above what the expectations
fall forward.
Iowa State has never played in January. And as you pointed out,
Drake has
more than once.
Two or three times.
Yeah.
I think maybe three times.
So beat Oklahoma State, and it's
hard
to imagine.
Which is way back in the 40s, but our man Art will tell you that was just yesterday.
Yeah, yeah. It's not that long ago to Art.
Back when Minnesota was a national power.
But if Iowa State wins again, not only is Iowa State still in position to get to Dallas in the Big 12 championship game, but it'd be hard to imagine not getting to a January bowl game or a January bowl game equivalent in prestige. I know sometimes now January bowl games aren't quite what we think. There are some that are in late December. They're December that are actually more prestigious than some of the bowls that are played in January. Most of us tend to think of the big games on New Year's Day and New Year. That's not what it once was. There are even a couple of games, I think, that are played after you've forgotten the bowls are still going in January.
Yeah, after that first round of playoff games. Yeah, a couple
before
bad bowls.
Before the national title game, just kind of hanging in there.
Just providing programming for television.
January bowl game doesn't mean anything anymore. You have to be specific as to which game you're talking about in January.
But there certainly is a good chance, for Iowa State to be in its best bowl game ever, I would think. And a lot of that comes up this weekend. We got some news yesterday that Brandon Snyder re-tore that ACL. Now, he made that miraculous recovery. I mean, he's back sooner than anyone expected. Then he had that fairy tale storybook pick six.
Thrown right to him.
Yeah, took it all the way back. That's the Dolph call where he had the wrong player for a while.
That's right. Right?
So we won't replay that right now. We won't celebrate it with that. But, he's going into surgery in Kirk Ferentz.
Is that the same tear?
Same knee, different. Same knee.
Different ligament?
Retorn ACL.
Oh,
but
same ligament. Okay.
Yeah, it is. I don't know that it's the same spot. It does immediately make you think, well, did he come back too soon? Did he not allow enough healing? And Kirk Ferentz said because he did come back, and even though he only played a little bit, the fact that he came back, they will apply for a medical red shirt, but he does not expect to get it.
Well, that's too bad.
But he has another year. I think he's a junior, so he has another year.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, that stinks. I can only imagine going through that rehab. You're kind of telling yourself, it's kind of on a deal with yourself that this is the only time you're going to have to do this. Just push through it. Now you have to do it again.
I was watching interviews from John Sears and Michael Admeyer from Iowa's quarterback Nate Stanley and Iowa State's quarterback Kyle Kemp. And it just made me think, like, these two collectively have to be the two most laid-back dudes that have ever played quarterback. I mean, You want a quarterback who's unflappable and, you know, doesn't seem like he gets real high or real low or excited or anything, even though some great quarterbacks have been excitable guys, like Dan Marino, for one, comes to mind, just yelling at everybody out on the field. But, I mean, Kempton and Stanley just seem like guys you go in like, hey, Nate, the building's on fire. We got to evacuate. Okay, I'll get my stuff.
Stanley is that chilled too? I've noticed that Kemp is so, even when you see him in the middle of the game through his face mask, he looks like he's doing his taxes.
Yeah, he's almost like two. It's like he could fall asleep.
Yeah, they're really laid back. And Chad Lystico of the Des Moines Register was telling a story that kind of makes you understand that Stanley is also in Kemp's realm. He said that Kirk Ferentz, when he made an offer to Stanley for a scholarship, that Stanley's reaction was so deadpan that Ferentz felt compelled to turn and go back to the car and find Stanley and his dad and make sure they understood, hey, that was an offer, just to be clear. And they acknowledged that they understood that. And then I guess Stanley and his dad were really excited about it. You just couldn't tell. That's great.
He's just that laid back.
Yeah, he's laid back. That is one laid back dude. All right, we have a show full of guests today, so we're gonna kind of go a little bit out of our usual order here, but we also want to tell you about Iowa Wolves Wednesday, right? That's a nice prize that we have.
Yeah.
And how are we giving this prize out? Because floor seats.
Yeah, involved. Floor seats. The next Wednesday's home game. I think it's the next game the Iowa Wolves are on. They're on a road trip right now, so their next home game is next Wednesday night. We have four floor seats, and we've got it on Twitter and Facebook. Just prove you're a fan, and how kind of however you interpret that. If that means you went to the home opener, and you have a picture of that. If that means you're a Minnesota Timberwolves fan, you have a Kevin Garnett jersey. However you want to do that to prove that you're a fan, you could win these tickets.
Peter Jock could just send in a photo of that dog he brought in here to the studio. I'd say that looked like a wolf, right? That'd be a
Siberian Husky. That's his brother. Okay, Dow sure. Had that with him.
Dow.
They were dog sitting, I think.
Good looking dog, that dog. Let's get some more now on the Murph and Andy Show.
It's time now for more, brought to you by Lithia Volkswagen of Des Moines. This is General Manager Tim Bowes, and I can assure you no dealer in Central Iowa gives you more than Lithia Volkswagen. For now, back to Murph and Andy.
Well, there has been another black bear sighting in northeast Iowa near the town of Schley.
Schley? Schley?
Schley? Schley? I haven't heard of that town before. Schley? It's near Cresco, anyway. Great pictures on the Register's website. A farmer was in his tractor driving along. He saw the black bear. He was like, is that a deer? Gets out of his tractor. He's like, nope, that's a black bear. Got back in his tractor. Took some good pictures, though. Guy has wandered down from, I'm going to guess, Wisconsin. Walked down from there, and somebody needs to hit him with a tranquilizer dart and take him back up to bear country.
I saw a tweet from the law enforcement down in Missouri that they're warning people that, you know, the deer right now are, you know, they're
in the rut. Yeah.
Yeah, they're kind of on the prowl. Yep. And they're saying, hey, they will not be discouraged by horns or lights or loud noises or anything. They're on a mission, so beware.
They're turned on.
Yeah, they're turned on.
Yeah, right. So, yeah, look out. There's a bear. It's definitely a bear up there. They confirmed it. Early this morning, a West Des Moines man was arrested and charged with OWI, eluding and assault of an officer, among other things. Police were called to the McDonald's on Jordan Creek Parkway late last night, early this morning, after midnight this morning. Called to the McDonald's where they say 25-year-old Jonathan Pingle was banging on the window of the drive-thru demanding food, which apparently either the place was closed or they really kind of knew that this was a problem and they were not going to let him in. They were not going to serve him. So police tried to stop him. He eluded, then jumped onto 235 East, led them on a high-speed chase to 8th Street, the 8th Street exit, then to his apartment where he tried to get out and run, but police stopped him. He then decided it was a good idea to fight the police, kicked one of them in the chest. They were not happy about that. They arrested him, charged him with all that stuff. Bottom line, heavy price to pay for the cheeseburger that you just could not get at McDonald's. Come on, man.
McDonald's is everywhere. Where's the strangest place you've seen, or where's your most memorable McDonald's sighting, and you thought, I can't believe there's a McDonald's?
Well, it's got to be someplace in another country.
Yeah, yeah. I've
been to many, many McDonald's in other countries.
You go, you seek it out. The comfort of home.
Absolutely, because
really?
You knew what it would do to your stomach. And you, after, I mean, I've traveled a lot, and where I would have, yeah, you would have stomach problems for a week.
Like,
and you because you were eating stuff that you were really unfamiliar with, and then finally you get to McDonald's, and you'd be like, yes, it's not sexy, I don't seem like a really seasoned traveler, but I know what it will do to my stomach.
So I can't remember the exact, it was like the Czech Republic or someplace like that. I saw a McDonald's, and this was probably 20 years ago, and this is before you would have this happen, but the thing that was so different to me is there were a lot of people in line at the McDonald's in this European country, and they were ordering beer with their, you know, hamburger and fries.
I remember
that kind of
seeing
stuff.
Beer at McDonald's.
Yeah, so that was different.
I remember paying like $10 for an extra value meal at McDonald's.
Royale with cheese.
Yeah.
Yeah, just call it a Big Mac.
Sean Combs is not changing his name.
He's
again.
Not?
No, he's not.
I thought he was Lil Brother, Big Brother.
Brother Love.
Brother Love.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
He implied
or
he was going to be changing it to Brother Love or just Love or something like that. But he now says he's sticking with Diddy for now, which is what is like fourth name change.
Yeah, what it was Puff Daddy, then Puffy.
Sean Combs.
Yeah, Sean
Puff
Combs,
Daddy,
Puff Daddy, Puffy.
P. Diddy.
Then just Diddy.
Yeah, yeah.
I wonder if he
Diddy Dirty Money for like a minute.
Well, wait, but did he like really change it, or just that's what you call him?
That's just what you call him.
Okay,
I'm
so
pretty
he didn't
sure
go
Sean
down
Combs
to the courthouse
his, right.
or anything and change his.
No, I think his license still says Sean Combs.
This kind of got away from him, didn't it? I mean, this is a guy who is a shrewd businessman. He is worth a fortune. I don't. Is it his vodka or his clothing line or is it all of that?
Is it all of that? The music also. Yeah.
Okay.
He's kind of a mogul.
I mean, he's hit it big, but this thing has kind of gotten silly. It's like remember Prince when he turned his name into a symbol.
Yeah,
what the
silly.
Hell was that?
The Twitter character expansion is official. I think everybody's seen that by now. 140 characters to 280. You knew they were going this way, right?
Everybody has that?
Will very, very shortly, if they don't have it already, very, very shortly. When they teased this thing, what, in September? Like, that wasn't going to work. Like people weren't going to like that. I mean, you're suddenly told that you can talk more, right? Force other people to listen to your opinion more on Twitter. Somehow people aren't going to like that. You kidding?
Do you like it though? Do you? Because to me,
I know that you said that you like the one.
I like the limit. I like the edit. I think it.
I don't really care, but yeah. I'm not that into Twitter. I mean, I think that people that are really into Twitter, like sharing their thoughts on Twitter, like the president, maybe they would be all about this. There's no way with.
Oh, I don't know that the president needs more characters.
I don't know that he needs more. I think he wants more.
I needed like 5 or 10 more characters. I do like the brevity and trying to edit yourself and fit into, you know, the 140 characters. There were a handful of times I was like, man, if I could just, I need 2 more characters. If I could just have a little leeway.
But you know what?
280 is too much.
Do you think 280 though is going to solve that? Because you're going to get to 280, you're going to need just...
Right.
I need 285.
Now the brevity comes in 280.
283, and I'm good. Did you know that Vietnam produces more cashews than any other country on Earth?
No way I knew that.
All right. Moving on. The smartest...
Hang on. What is this a new Andy's random factoid of the day? I mean, first the raspberries, now the cashews.
Why didn't make it up? It's not my factoid.
Yeah, but where are you stumbling across this kind of information?
I like cashews.
I get that you like cashews, but how did you come across this information?
I was curious.
So you looked up, hey, I wonder who makes the most cashews.
Yeah. Like, what country could you go to where cashews were not more expensive than all the other nuts like they are here?
And previously you thought, I wonder who produces the most raspberries.
Yeah, I like raspberries.
Okay, do you try to think of something different, or just it comes across you as you're just sitting there at your desk?
I try to, you know, you're curious. I try to give you more with more, and you know.
Okay.
I, that's just a little bit more.
All right.
Not a lot more.
Yeah, that's,
a little,
well, that's more.
A little bit.
Yeah, that's more.
How about the smartest cities in Iowa, compiled by Zipia? Here's how they did it. They looked at any place with over 10,000 people, okay? So it's not going to be a small town, real small town. And the data available for every criteria, that left them with only 39 places in Iowa to rank. not that many towns in Iowa with more than 10,000 people to begin with. But and here's the criteria. Percentage of adults with at least a college education. So higher percentage would be smarter. Percentage of teenagers that are high school dropouts. So in this case, lower is smarter. You want a lower number.
Okay.
Combine those criteria together, considering that it has to be at least 10,000 people. And here you go. The smartest town in Iowa is Johnston.
Oh, really?
Johnston.
I feel like the people in Johnston would think that they're number one, and this reinforces it.
They have college graduates and not too many high school dropouts there.
No, these people in Johnston definitely have more than 10,000. Act like they're the smartest person in the room. Well, they are.
It's the smartest town. It doesn't necessarily mean it has the smartest people. Number two is Iowa City. That makes sense.
Ahead of Ames?
Yes. Yes, it is, unfortunately. Ames still does very well.
I'm just stirring it up. For no reason.
Yeah.
Ahead of Ames?
Johnston, Iowa City. West Des Moines is third. North Liberty. Which is a suburb of the greater Iowa City area. Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
That's basically another Iowa City there. Number five is Ames.
Top five smarts.
Number six is Marion, another one over there by Cedar Rapids. Number seven, Pella. Makes sense, college town.
It does make sense, and there are a lot of people in Pella who are very smart about basketball.
Yes.
And football.
They are.
Three-time defending champs.
And the Bible,
yes, all of those things.
Number eight, Altoona.
Altoona? What?
Yeah, Altoona.
Oh, I know, because they're really good at guessing your age there.
For the casino.
No, at Adventureland.
Oh, do they guess your age there? Do they? I haven't seen that.
They always guess the women way under what they are when they give you the prize.
Yeah, you got to be smart. Yeah, Adventureland.
That's smart.
Number nine is Ankeny. Number 10, Cedar Falls. Then Urbandale.
Yeah.
Number 12, Carroll.
Oh, hang on. Did you just say
Scott
that
Sipker's
Urbandale is ahead of Carroll?
Suck it, Sipker.
There you go. Urbandale, number 11. Carroll, number 12.
I mean, we could have told you that just by the two of us, but I'm glad to know the metrics.
I won't make you go through all the way through.
But to be clear, we're getting dumber as we go.
Yes.
Yeah, we are getting dumber. What do you want, like the bottom 10?
Yeah, let's get the last five.
Okay, the last five. Let's do the bottom 10, and I'll talk about the last five. All right, number 20 is, no, I'm sorry. This is going to go to 39, what I'm going to do here. All right. Waterloo, Muscatine, Chris Hassel's hometown of Muscatine, Davenport, Council Bluffs, Fort Dodge, Sioux City,
ooh,
Clinton, Marshalltown. Here's your bottom five. Clinton, Marshalltown, Fort Madison. Well, half of those people are in prison, right? That doesn't really count. That shouldn't count.
Well, that lowers your score.
Yeah, I would think. That really drags them down. Clinton, Marshalltown, Fort Madison, Keokuk.
Nice pronunciation. I sometimes fall for the Keokuk trick.
The brains are just being sucked straight down that Mississippi River. Just being drained.
And I got a real good idea about 39.
39? I mean, it's. What's a nice way to put this? We don't want to say the dumbest town in Iowa.
No, of 39 eligible, this one has the least intelligence.
This finished last in the smartest towns in Iowa poll. Is that the nicest way you can say that?
That sounds pretty good.
This town finished last in a poll titled Smartest Towns in Iowa.
Sure. I think that's very...
You know this one already? Did you see it? Can you honestly guess?
I have seen it. And
I
honestly can guess it. Yes. Yes.
It is Ottumwa.
Congratulations, Tom Arnold and Heather Burnside. Man. Heather Parizic.
Ottumwa. Again, that river just sucking the brains right out of them, sending it on down the river to Keokuk.
But Ottumwa has really smart people. Every town, every city has really smart people and people who aren't.
Well, I mean,
smart.
We know Heather, but she's not there.
Yeah,
she's not helping the cause down there.
She's helping Des Moines score or West Des Moines score.
All right, there you go. So that's the poll. It's an interesting poll.
All right, when we come back, the 3-point play. 284.
We got a quickie poll we got to throw out here.
I was going to throw it out during the next segment.
Oh, you want to do that next segment?
Yeah, let's throw it in the next
segment.
284-5966. 284-KXNO if you'd like to take a shot at the Cryo Vitality 3-point play. Back with a Valley Dowling special coming up next.
For three. Oh-ho! He'll fire another long three. Good again! For three more. Yes!
Take a shot at the 3-point play.
Time for the three-point play. It is presented by Cryo Vitality and Clive and Ankeny. Accelerate injury recovery and post-surgical healing with whole body cryotherapy. Shane, you'll have the first shot. $30 gift card to the first person, or to the person who completes the three-point play. Get it started here. Shane, who is this?
It was obviously the best we've played in terms of, you know, cleaning things up, eliminating mistakes. And I thought the guys played with confidence.
Shane, who is that?
That's Coach Kirk Ferentz.
It is Kirk Ferentz. Name this band. Shane, who is that?
Oh, is that Twisted Sister?
You're on a roll. One more to go. Name this movie.
We're getting up a football game against the guards. Wondered if maybe you and some of your buddies here would like to join in on the fun.
It's the original, not the sequel. Shane, do you know what that movie is?
Is that The Longest Yard?
It is. Yeah, nicely done. Shane didn't sound confident on any of the three answers, but...
I would have bet a lot of money that we wouldn't have a sweep on that one. I thought it was a little more difficult, but well done, Shane.
You never know. We welcome to the studio our good friend, longtime friend, Dave Bingham. Many of you know him as the master of the sports blanket, among other things. How are you doing, Dave?
You know, honestly... Bob Selby and I were best friends growing up, and Andy's, you know, enamored with certain people, you know, and I thought I was really dumb growing up. I thought I was just dumb,
yeah.
But Bobby was like an encyclopedia. I mean, Selby could remember anything. So like these three-point plays, he could have. So yeah, we did back porch radio, sports blanket for a long time until I just decided, yeah, I'm coaching my kids and all that. It was just really, you know what, you guys, what's amazing? Think about when we were younger, how you would know like people in the NHL. Like, Andy, I could name people, I could pronounce their name in 1992 that played in the NHL.
Mm-hmm.
And now I don't know anybody in the NHL. And it's amazing how, like, Bobby still can, but
yeah,
that's beside the point. But yeah,
never lost that encyclopedia.
Yeah, and I don't remember anything. Like, I can barely.
Do you know where you are right now,
yes,
Dave?
Yes, I haven't had lunch today. I had some walnuts this morning.
Well, do you know which country produces the most economical cashews?
I don't.
I think it's just straight cashews.
Straight cashews?
Yeah.
That was one of Andy's factoids today.
Vietnam is cashew central.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Hey, the things you learn. All right, so
I was just trying to tweet a picture to you guys. That's all I was trying to do, so I'm going to do that right now.
Oh, yeah, please.
That's you in the studio with us?
Yeah.
Oh, you can multitask all you want. So, Dave, catch everybody up on what you're doing now, because you're unleashing a big project here that you've worked on for a long time.
It's a concept, I guess. Keith and Andy, for you guys, explain it to me. You know, Todd Bailey and I one day were driving in a car, and he said, "You got to get a DVR banger. It's going to change your life." I'm saying, "There's no way in hell I'll ever have DVR ever, ever." And then I realized it did change my life. I mean, Todd was way smarter than me and right.
He's very sage.
So now when you look at the way things have changed with social media, but I'm sitting there with my wife and somebody's like, "You should get Netflix." I'm like, "We got it. It's dumb. Not doing that." Back when it first came out. You know how things first come out, they're just terrible. And then somebody's like, "You should watch Netflix and watch Peaky Blinders."
Because it's a good idea, but it doesn't really work right.
Yeah,
it takes a while to get the case.
And then I was like, this Netflix is... amazing. It's changed my life, kind of like the DVR. So, yeah, we're already doing high school football. It's been my passion. Do one thing, do it well. I've been at every game at the Unidome since 2000.
Jeez.
And I love being up there. Like, I will go to all 18 games. Yeah, and
you really do love it.
Every time there's another game, yeah. I'm ready to go to that. I want to see Wes Lyon play, you know, Van Meter. I want to see that game. I really do. It really is important to me. So...
Your love of high school football is real.
It is, and it's funny. For as long as I've known Binger, which is the entire time that I've been working here in Des Moines, he has loved the high school sports and is really, I mean, it's like a sincere thing. Really, you know, you really study it. You really love it. You'll be at the tournaments, and you're just truly enjoying yourself. The coverage you give, I think, really reflects that. I mean, you can tell when somebody's just kind of going through the motions as a job. Or
like Chris Hassel. He had to fake his love of high school sports.
Yeah, he was faking it. But Binger would be out there. I mean, he'll stay there all day. You'd have to make him come home.
Yeah. Well, and I'm just lucky enough. So you guys have seen the progression.
Yeah, I think he just had a key to the Unidome after a few years.
Yeah, right? I think, I'm lucky, and I still do television stuff related to the coverage. I don't shoot every single game like I used to. But pretty much, and we will, for Dome Dynasty, put something out after every game, thanks to our, you know, partnership with everybody. So after every game, you'll see a little sniglet, and you'll see something done on our social media, like a Netflix docu-series. And so the long story short, Valley Dowling, I mean, I can't say enough about Gary Swenson and Tom Wilson. Obviously, Tom's been a friend of mine. I played against him in high school, but I'm a big Gary Swenson guy. He's probably one of my favorite Cowboys. You just think about, he's just a Cowboy. But he is an innovator, and he is a great man. He's a great football coach. We were lucky enough to do stuff with Ed Thomas years ago. And so these ideas are like, why are we not sharing these? Why are we not archiving these relationships that we have and this inside information or inside football that we have with these coaches? So
your project is the one that's coming up on, I think it's now called NBC Chicago.
Yeah, isn't that
NBC
cool?
Sports Chicago. It's part of the NBC family. It used to be... Gosh, what was it called before? It was a CSN, I think,
Comcast,
Chicago Sports Network,
yeah,
or
something like
Comcast
that.
Sports Network. But NBC Chicago, which is available on virtually any satellite package and some cable packages.
Yes.
It's not on most media comms, at least it's not on my media comm. But you're doing this project that launches this week is on the history of the Valley-Dowling rivalry, which some consider the best in the state.
It really is. And to be able to have the insight with those coaches, and if we'd had a larger budget, you know, we'd have went to homes and rode around with coaches because we would have had that access. But Jesse Landau and I just basically are bringing you the games. And we're also with the coaches. The great thing is partnership with the Iowa Hall of Pride. So there is still content from this rivalry that won't be seen in the documentary. You can go to the Hall of Pride, and there's chapters like you would see on an iTouch. And you can go look at the Valley Dowling one, and you can see special projects. There's also that going on, you know, right now, the same time, parallel with what we're doing with Pella this year.
So this premieres tonight on NBC Sports Chicago. It's tonight at 8 p.m. Then it airs three more times on the network. It's Battle of West Des Moines, Valley versus Dowling. And these rivals have produced 12 of the past 17 state 4A championships. And the Dome Dynasty shows you an inside look at the foundation for how these schools have dominated so much. Dave Bingham is with us, and he's behind this project that, again, premieres tonight on NBC Chicago.
So, Binger, do you have old archival footage of real old games?
There's some in there. It's not as much as when we'd put out on social media, Andy. So during the weeks leading up to some of this stuff, or you can still go back and look at it on Facebook and Twitter, you know, I would put the 2008 game or the 2002 game, or here's when they played in the Dome in 2005. So we still have hours. I have hours and hours of archives, especially if they played in the Dome. So that stuff does exist. So throughout the content of this documentary, there'll be an occasional, but it's mostly done in, I would say, a 30 for 30 manner on what happened last year. It's more about what transpired last season.
So it's really about last season.
It's really about last season, and then how that, where the rivalry exists at this point. And so I'm just proud of the quality of the product, because bringing Jesse and you know, even my brother and his company, Bing Bang, they came in and helped. And
Bing Bang.
Yeah, yeah.
Bing Bang. And you had Keep It Memorable at one point, which is an acronym for Kim, right?
Yeah, and that's actually still my company's name. Yeah, that's my brother.
Keep It Memorable.
Keep It Memorable Sports. Yeah, if you're ever going to be a big star and have a sound off at the end, pardon the pun, but yeah, hope we kept it memorable.
Let's get a quickie poll. Dave Bingham, you'll appreciate this quickie poll, which is on the Murph and Andy Show platforms for you to vote.
Yeah, sponsored by WCI Pools and Spas. Which local sports power gives you more coverage fatigue? Is it Dowling or Valley?
These are the two schools that I get the most complaints about every year.
They're the haves.
Yeah, they're the haves, and people resent how much coverage they get. And, you know, not completely understanding or appreciating in their complaint that, you know, there's a reason you see the Patriots and Warriors on SportsCenter more than you see the Cleveland Browns and the Sacramento
teams that
Kings.
Are winning.
Yeah, they're the teams that win, and they win in all sports. But it seems to me the more resentful complaints we get is aimed at Dowling, and it always comes back to the, well, you know, they recruit the other kids, of course they're going to win.
You sure have to give Tom Wilson a lot of credit, because, okay, 46 years we've had state playoffs, 40 of those Dowling have been in. The only one to match that's Emmitsburg. But here's the interesting thing about that is Wilson you know, they had the two championships with Dillon in 2000-2001. But that's their only championships. They had Jim Williams. They had the Bill Belichick of high school football for years. Didn't win it. You know, you could say up until 72 they were the best team or were the – once Wilson got here, you know, you can say all he want about recruiting and all you want about this and that. He's doing something special. So,
Dave, I remember in the 90s being up in the Dome and covering Dowling. Yeah. And the narrative that I was advancing at that time is Dowling can't win the big game.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it was back then. They kept going to the Dome, but they couldn't finish.
Yeah.
They finish now. They're the four-time defending champs.
Ooh, buddy, they're five. They could do five. It's it's crazy.
Yeah, they're the team to beat again. Yeah. I mean, I know Centennial beat Dowling.
This year, the 4A is very, very dead. It's a dead heat, but... Yeah, if you're going to pick somebody, you're picking Dowling right now, probably.
And, you know, you could probably find, well, I don't know, what, three or four schools here in the metro that would consider Dowling to be their, I don't know, biggest rival, but maybe the one, the school they resent the most. And it's all kind of the same thing. I mean, it's the recruiting. It's the fact that, it's the private high school. It's, there's Catholic prejudice out there from a number of different angles. But, I mean, they're the ones who get the fingers pointed at them, right? For different reasons. And, you know, if it's not Valley that's resenting them, it's Johnston or it's Southeast Polk or, you know, I mean, I remember the one night we had a Dowling fan who used to work with us on Friday night, football Friday night. Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we also had a Southeast Polk fan who worked with us on football Friday night in the Channel 13 sports office.
I would do the sports from the sports office.
Murph is live there at the desk in the sports office. And Dowling and Southeast Polk are playing in a game that goes to overtime behind us.
Oh, yeah, it was a big game.
So we're on. You probably remember the game, Bing. You could probably tell us the score.
Jesse Smith was playing, I think.
I think he's right.
Yeah.
It's Rain Man of high school
these
football.
Two, we had to separate these two. In the background, they were bickering. And bitching at each other.
You can't do your job.
And finally, Murph turns around. He's like, "Shh, you two, knock it off."
While we're on the air,
they're bickering. And this is Southeast Polk and Dowling, but it's Valley and Dowling, or you know, probably Urbandale and Dowling at one point. I mean, there has just always been. They have been a thorn in so many different sides.
I think it's a great thing to have that passion. Murph, I think you excel in this maturity level beyond sports, even though you're in sports every once in a while. To get the crazy is always crazy, but it takes a long time for some of those crazy people to let their kids get out of school or they're not coaching anymore. And we're all Iowans. We're all fighting for each other. We're all very tight-knit, you know. I think some of the best Valley and Dowling, you know, athletes, no matter what the sport, will end up doing some great things with somebody from Southeast Polk, as crazy as it sounds. But I love the crazy why it's going on. I enjoy it. You would never get caught up in it. And that emotion, I think, when you get old enough to be like, oh, what is all the fuss? You know?
Yeah, this is sports hate, not real hate.
Yeah, I think that. But I think that that part of it keeps it fun because then that's where that – when the playoffs start in football, like we were at Pella – you know, there's just a different sound of the crowd. There's just a, you know, I love that. I do love the passion, but sometimes we do need to not talk while the television program's going on. Let's stop fighting.
Remember your age. Yeah, check yourself down.
So Valley Dowling, and again tonight, 8 p.m. the premiere on NBC, the NBC Chicago, formerly CSN. There are various ways to watch that, and then it'll be repeated several times. Check your local listings. So Valley Dowling is, in, say, the past 25 years, if we start there, is this the best or most important rivalry in the state?
In 4A, I don't know. There are some rivalry-wise, whoa. I mean, there are some wars out there, especially up in northwest Iowa. There's some pretty big war, and there's some that are evolving, but
so the two most accomplished teams, but maybe doesn't have some of that small town border rivalries that you see somewhere.
Yes, where there's really still some disdain, maybe. I think that
in northwest Iowa, like where Sioux City.
Well, I mean,
the only
you talked about Dowling in a certain way. I think everybody was the same way. They wanted to get Emmitsburg. when I was just talking about...
Oh, you're not talking 4A here.
When I was talking small...
Across all classes.
When I'm talking across all classes, there's some good ones out there. I mean, there were some, you know, whether Southeast Warren Melcher, you know, or, you know, there's some bad ones, you know, where they would get after each other. And those are relatives directly involved, so I know the stories.
I knew all the Daybolts, somebody from that part of the
all the Daybolts and Binghams are running to the radio. But there's some good stuff out there. But I think some of the people that have been around this rivalry in the earlier days, I think there was some really nasty, fun things that happened. We didn't uncover some of those.
And the sharing the stadium part kind of makes it unique, too, did for quite a while.
Yeah, it really – and it's always –
Still do.
Yeah, you're always thinking, when's Dowling going to build one? But there's it's not going to happen.
Dowling played over at Drake Stadium for a while, but then decided to go back to Valley Stadium.
Yep. Then they do East in the playoffs usually. If East isn't in the playoffs, they that's their home facility. And we're a runner-up in their district this year, so didn't have that option, but –
So final couple of minutes here with Dave Bingham with the Dome Dynasty, Dowling Valley and the battle for West Des Moines. What is some anecdote or nugget that you uncovered looking back at this rivalry that really interested you?
Just that there is what I was talking to you about, the maturity that goes along with the staff. I mean, they're just real men. Sometimes as we cover coaches and athletes, it's just there's a level of really, you know, you're a head coach, you know. And so I think, as you know, us entering our later years, closer to our 60s than our 30s,
so you get more Kirk Ferentz, less Lane Kiffin.
And I think to know that you know, people like Gary Swenson and Tom Wilson exist and they are great for young men is I think it reveals that. And there is no, they want to beat each other into submission. Like, Tom wants to beat Gary, and Gary doesn't ever want to lose to Dowling. He doesn't want to watch Dowling. He wants nothing to do with Dowling ever. You know, I'm like, what happens when you lose? Do you watch the Dome games? He goes, I don't want to be up there. So, I mean, I don't get to put all that stuff in the doc, but I think it reveals what high character these men have after the game's over. There might be some emotion, but that's about it.
Well, Bingham, this sounds really interesting. You're the right guy to do it.
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
There'll be more.
You are a sage of high school sports around here, and I'm interested to see it. I think it's going to be fun. Jesse Landolt, a good guy to have on your side,
He edited most of it, and he's incredible. Good. And Hall of Pride will air that documentary. You can always go watch it down there on Blu-ray if you miss it. So it's pretty cool to have all those things connected with it. And it still lives and breathes on social media forever. That's a cool thing.
Dave, where can people find you on Twitter, or what's a website address maybe to find out more information on this Dome Dynasty project?
Well, domedynasty.com. And
that's easy.
At Dome Dynasty on Twitter, at Dome Dynasty on Facebook. I am not a Facebook person, but since we've started this, I've had to be. And so we put a lot out there. I've already put a ton of stuff out today, so...
Good to see you, Dave.
Hey.
He's Dave Bingham.
Love you guys, man. All
right, we'll be back with Throwdowns on the Murph and Andy Show, 1460 KXNO. Don't let me
throw it down. It's time for Throwdowns. Powered by Heartland Tire and Auto Center.
Let's throw it down. Murph, Iowa and Iowa State are underdogs this weekend. Iowa on the road coming off their best performance in years. Iowa State at home with a great defense but often struggling a bit. Which team is more likely to pull off the upset Saturday, Iowa or Iowa State?
Oh, man, I think they both have a real shot, and I'm still trying to decide how to pick these games. Of course, goes without saying, the Iowa team that just played Ohio State shows up. They will beat Wisconsin by a couple of touchdowns, but can we count on that after 1 week? I think I'm still more likely to go with the more likely upset being the team that's at home and the team that beat Oklahoma, a team that just beat Oklahoma State. So I'll go Iowa State, but I will say, based on what we've seen the past few weeks, I don't know how anybody can go into this weekend with a high confidence prediction on these two games.
Yeah, I agree with that completely. I have a man that I whiffed bad last week. Phew! I'm going to go the other way here, though. I feel like Kirk Ferentz teams are comfortable in Madison. I don't feel like that's a place that they're intimidated. I feel like they are brimming with confidence. I feel like they go in there, they feel like they can win. I feel like Wisconsin is still somewhat of an unknown commodity for a team that's this many games into the season. They just have not been tested that much, and they're going to get a test from Iowa. I think Iowa can keep it simple, the same as Wisconsin likes to do, and we have seen them just go in there and win games when they weren't expected to. Iowa State, I feel like they really need some offense this weekend, really need it. We haven't seen it in a while. Oklahoma State is just a team that really can score points. Clearly, if the defense does to them what they did to TCU, that bodes really well, but it's hard to count on that two different times against two really good teams, different teams. So I feel like I'm a little more comfortable picking Iowa here.
All right, Andy, due mostly to a weak schedule, undefeated Wisconsin is behind several one-loss teams in the college football playoff rankings. If the Badgers run the table and are the 13-0 Big Ten champions, should they be guaranteed a spot in the playoff?
I mean, guaranteed is a tough word. That's so final. But, yeah, I mean, the Big Ten champions running that gamut against those teams and having gotten through a championship game like that, being undefeated that they would be, I just don't see how you can keep them out of the top four. I mean, the top four you're talking about, not the top two. So I'm going to say, yeah, they should have a spot in there.
Yeah, I would say they should have a spot, too. I don't know that there needs to be some stipulation that it would be guaranteed, but yes, they should have a spot with all these one-loss teams. They will have beaten a top 20 team in Iowa if they were to go undefeated, and then they would also have beaten Penn State or Ohio State likely in the Big Ten championship game. That should be enough to get you in the playoff with this field.
All right, the poll is going up on Twitter, @Murph_Andy. Who won Throwdowns? Was it Murph or was it Andy?
All right. Yeah, we heard from a few of you yesterday who thought, you know, Tommy Burch talking Cyclones for 30 minutes was just too much of a tilt for this show, even for this show with Cyclone homers on it. Coming up in hour two, we have Chuck Long, the Hawkeye legend, and Kirk Ferentz, the head coach of the Iowa Hawkeyes. But we'll start it with Trending Iowa. That's up next on the Murph and Andy Show, 1460 KXNO.